الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Can you hear me at the back? پیچھے آواز آ رہی ہے کلیئر آ رہی ہے یا میں اس کا ہاتھ میں پکڑ لوں کلیئر اوکے جزاک اللہ سو ٹوڈے انشاء اللہ دس ول بی اے ٹو سیشن سیریز دیٹ وی ہیو ٹوڈے ول بی دا فرسٹ سیشن اینڈ دین نیکسٹ ویک آن تھرسڈے ول ہیو دا سیکنڈ سیشن ریئلی میرج ان اسلام بفور ڈیورنگ آفٹر This is a whole series long course but we want to give you within these two sessions some important principles. So today inshallah we'll be mentioning about 10 principles which are about generally those people who are unmarried looking for a prospective spouse. But even for those who are married they will be able to benefit from these. And even next week when we speak about principles I'll again be speaking about a few other principles. And they will be more for those who are married. But again, those who are unmarried will be able to benefit from that. So the way I've designed session for today, inshallah, is that we will be speaking about 10 principles, basically. And these are principles that all of us should be aware about in terms of how to go about understanding marriage in Islam, how should we approach marriage, understand marriage, And then also more practically than how to find the right one, right? Jo asal sawal hai for those who are unmarried. And then inshallah next week we'll be looking at a few principles for a happy, successful marriage. That will be day two inshallah. So today inshallah we start. My first principle about marriage is that marriage in Islam definitely has a physical element to it. But more than that, we should approach marriage in a spiritual way. I'm not negating the physical aspect, that definitely is there. Lekin, we should go beyond that because in Islam, marriage is not only meant to be physical, it also actually is a very spiritual act. And not just an act, it's also an ibadah. So I'm going to open up this point for you, right? That how we should be approach marriage, that marriage should be viewed spiritually and not just physically. What do I mean by this? So I'm going to share with you right at the start a few ayat of the Quran. Right? So we understand that in one, you know, marriage the Prophet ﷺ said was my sunnah. A nikahu min sunnati. And if we do marriage with this intention that I want to fulfill the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, not only will you be getting the marriage but also you'll be fulfilling the sunnah. Sunnah brings the muhabbat of Allah. In other words, marriage is a mechanism by which you can spiritually develop. You can attract the love for Allah. And you can draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So it's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the second thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that whoever turns away from this, وَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي That person is not within us. He's not from us. So a person who does not marry, he is not following the way of the Prophet ﷺ. So this is, you know, the sunnah. Then linked with this, we also need to understand that this is part of our iman. The Prophet ﷺ said that nikah is half of your iman. Is half of iman. And this is incredible because before nikah, no matter what you do, جتنی عبادت کر لیں جتنا علم حاصل کر لیں نو میٹر ہاؤ پائز ہاؤ رائچس ہاؤ مچ تہجد گزار ہاؤ مچ فاسٹنگ یو ہیو نو میٹر ہاؤ مچ عبادت یو ہیو ان یور لائف دا بیسٹ یو کین ہوپ از دیٹ یو کین گیٹ ہاف وے اینڈ دا بیسٹ آف اس کین گیٹ 50% ڈن ود آور ایمان The other 50% starts after you get married. So shadi nikah ke baad, then only you can start the other 50% of your iman. So nikah is basically a source to complete your iman, perfect your iman, to adorn your iman, right? And in fact, nikah was also the sunnah of all the anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, of all the prophets. There are four things which are the sunnah of all the prophets. Number one is modesty, haya. Second is fragrance, the use of itar. Number third is miswak, and the fourth is nikah, marriage. So it's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, it's the sunnah of all the anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, plus it's also a source of completing your very iman. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever is granted a good wife, he is helped to follow half of his religion, so let him fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the other half. Right? So clearly telling us that nikah is half of iman. Then this is also a way through which a person can stay away from sins. And this should be our intention, that I want to marry because I want to protect myself from sins. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said clearly that you should get married. For those who are able to afford, have the ability, and we'll come to what that means in a moment, right? But those who have the ability, they should speed up, they should get married. Why? Because marriage is something which can protect you from those unlawful, impermissible desires. So we should make this intention that I want to get married because number one, first and foremost, I want to protect myself from sin. And if you do so, then the entire activity of marriage, the entire, all the years of marriage will count as ibadat. So saving ourselves from sin, saving ourselves from unlawful desire, impermissible desires. And not only can a person protect themselves from sin, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His special help and assistance to those who make irada for nikah. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that there are four types of people who get the special help and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them, one of the categories, is that person who intends to do nikah in order to save their iman, in order to protect their haya, their modesty. And if they get the special assistance and help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala takes upon Himself to help such an individual. Then there is a very famous hadith, all of you know, that if a person smiles at their spouse and their spouse will smile back at you, then Allah Ta'ala looks at both of you when He smiles. Right? So deen, in the deen of Islam, marriage is not completely physical. Right? You think that, you know, you ponder about this hadith, you're getting the smile of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So nikah ke zariye, shadi ke zariye, by looking at your spouse with love, when she looks back at you with love, Allah Ta'ala will look at both of you and He will smile. Right? Ab aap jitni tahajjud padh le, right? Jitni namazein padh le, kahi aata nahi ni ki Allah Ta'ala looks at you and smiles. Aapne itne, you're spending a lot of money in charity. Right? It doesn't, there's no hadith which mentions that Allah Ta'ala looks at you and smiles. You know, you're fasting day in and day out, ek din roza, phir dusre din roza. Aap lagatar rage hue hain, but for all of those, these are no matter, you know, don't misunderstand me, right? Rose of fasting and spending money in charity and praying to Allah Ta'ala and praying tahajjud, all of these are no doubt immense ibadah, they're very big ibadah. But this fazilat, this is only ascribed to nikah. You can only get this special fazilat when you marry and then the other person looks at you and smiles and you look back at that person. So we need to understand that nikah is a mechanism by which a person can get the smile of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on that person, on that man, literally on that man who wakes up at night and prays, and he prays tahajjud. And then he also wakes up his wife to pray. And if she resists, he would lightly spray water on her face, right, just to wake her up. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also have mercy on that woman who wakes up at night and prays the tahajjud, and then she wakes up her husband to pray. And if the husband resists, right, she lightly sprays water on the face of that individual. And in fact, in another riwayah it's mentioned that may Allah ta'ala have mercy on that man who has a beautiful wife, was an attractive wife, and then he sprays water on her. So sometimes you can make niyat of doing amal on this hadith, right? That I want to have an attractive wife so that I can wake her up and I can wake myself up and both of us, we can pray tahajjud that night. Right? Again, you understand that Allah Ta'ala is shavaning His rahmat upon such an individual. Then, I've already mentioned that nikah is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Then another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that there will be a reward for every morsel of food that you put in the mouth of your wife. Ye bhi ek sawab kamane ka tareeqa hai. Every morsel of food that you're putting will be getting a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we understand, and in fact, even the physical act, Islam may, that also is mentioned. And having a physical relationship with your wife, a person will be rewarded for that as well. And in fact, when the Sahaba Ikram heard this, they were not able to understand initially. Right? You're fulfilling your need. That is khana zarurat hoti hai. But we should not shy away from these things as well. Aap log khana khate hain, khana zarurat hai na? You guys eat because you are hungry. Is the rika say when you guys are thirsty, you drink water. This is also a human need. This is not to be a superman and not have this need at all, right? Wo phir Islam ka unse taluk nahi hai. If you read the stories of the Sahaba, you understand they had this need. And they would fulfill this need in the Islamic way. There's no embarrassment about this. There's no shying away from this. And the Sahaba Ikram, mashallah, they had a lot of, they had a lot of strength as well. I'm going to openly talk about it because you can understand what I'm saying. They had a lot of physical strength as well. A lot of physical strength. Balki main, one of my own hadith teacher, in the dars of Sahih Bukhari Sharif, he was mentioning that if you literally read the lives of the Sahaba, and you understand who they were and the amount of strength that they have, to unke mukabale mein hum to hijre lagte hain. Unke alfaz the, he was a muhaddis, he's saying ki aapko pata nahi hai. We don't speak about these things, we feel embarrassed and we feel shy. Wo kehte hain aap log to kuch nahi hai. If you read the Sahaba, and they were used to do it, right? They used to do it, and Hajj ka zamane ke andar bhi, and other occasions as well. Now you read and you realize that this is a human need. Yes, there are certain boundaries bata di, khane ki boundaries bata di, ki you eat halal khalo, haram na kao, right? Peene ki boundaries bata di, ki you can drink everything, sharab na piyo. To bulkul isi tarike se boundaries bata di, this is a human need, you should fulfill this need that you have, but haan, ye boundary hai, they do it within the boundaries of nikah, don't go outside nikah. So Islam is a deen of fitrat. Those other religions, right, where they don't even talk about these things, or they shy away from talking about these things, that's not the concept of Islam. Islam understands that this is part of human fitrah, that they have these physical needs. Islam speaks about these needs, but also Islam gives us the guidelines on how you're supposed to fulfill these needs within the boundary, right, such that it is beneficial for you. So Sahaba Ikram, they asked this question, that Ya Rasulullah, that we are fulfilling our physical need, and is bhi mein ajr mil raha hai. And the Prophet then explained that if you were to fulfill this need in an unlawful way, then would you get a sin? Guna milega? And the Sahaba Ikram said that yes, there will be, we'll be incurring a sin. So now that if you're doing this in a way which is halal, which is permissible, you will get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this shahwa, this desire within us, placed it within all of us. Right? Some people have more, some people have less. But Islam is a religion that speaks about this, that appreciates this. And this is part of being a man, part of being a human being. That you have this, but yes, there are certain guidelines if you do it within the boundary of Islam. In the other religions, that's when Islam, there's no monasticism. La rahbaniyata fil Islam. There's no celibacy in Islam. Right? That to be a religious person, you don't need to be celibate. Achha, what does this mean? Achha, compared to the other religions. Ab dekhi, in Christianity, especially Catholicism, you will see that if you want to be spiritual, waha mayar of spirituality kya hai? That you need to forgo women. You need to forgo women, bishop, pope, if you want to attain a spiritual rank, you cannot marry, you need to be a celibate. And on the other hand, they view women as an obstruction in a man's spiritual progress. right? If you take Hinduism, the same thing. That if you want to be a spiritual, you know, the yogi, the Brahman, the higher ranks that have in spirituality, in their spirituality, there again you cannot marry. You need to be a celibate. In Buddhism as well, that you need to be a celibate, you cannot marry if you want to reach that higher level of spirituality, which they call nirvana, right? And not only you're not supposed to marry, but in fact in Buddhism, they view women to be a spiritual inferior thing, that even if you accidentally touch them, right, so you will defile your own self. You will not be able to attain that spirituality. So compared to that, Islam is it's complete different, diametrically opposite. That women are a source through which you can get the smile of Allah. Women are the source through which you can complete your iman. Actually, women, right? Women, your wife, right? Yeah, your spouse, right? So disclaimer, right? Women means spouse. Your spouse is a source through which you can fulfill the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? So you understand that nikah in Islam is not just ibadat, it's babul ibadat. It's the door through which many ibadat open up. Many paths, many doorways of doing so many ibadat open up when you do nikah. And a person who hasn't done nikah, to phir wo darwaze band rehte hain, right? Misal ke taur pe, when a person does nikah, after that, you develop relations with the family of your wife as well. Right? So, pehle aapke do waldein the, ab char waldein ho jate hain. Right? You have their relatives as well. And now when you take care of your relatives as well, the mother-in-law, the father-in-law, the in-laws, so this in Arabic, this in Islam is called Sila Rahmi. Sila Rahmi, that aap achha bartao kar rahe hain with those relatives on your wife's side. And in Islam, Sila Rahmi ek mustaqil ibadat hai. It's a source of barakah, it's a source of getting the qurb of Allah, it's a source of drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So before you had 10 relatives, now you have 20 relatives. Doing good to them will bring barakah in your life, right? Then, not only, Sila Rahmi ke toh jana, there's a whole separate talk that we can give, right? That the barakah, the blessings that a person gets because of this. Then nikah say, you have responsibilities on your shoulder as well. So as a result of those responsibilities, now when you do your ibadat, now when you pray, now when you fast, Allah multiplies the ajr. Allah multiplies the reward of that ibadah. Allah Ta'ala increases the rate, the ajr, the reward of ibadah. In hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that an unmarried person, they pray 70 rakat, 70 rakat salah, and a married person prays 2 rakah. This 2 rakah of a married person is heavier on the scale than the 70 rakah of an unmarried person. Why? Why? The reason is because this person, married person, he is fulfilling hukukullah as well as hukukul ibad. Dono hukuk hai. Hukukullah, hukukul ibad, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises more reward. So, ibadat, the ajr increases. Then when you come to marriage, you also have to spend. Normally we spend on the orphans, the poor, the needy. But there is also another type of spending, which is spending on your own wife. And then later on your own children. Now when you're spending on your children, on your wife, hum isko majboori samajhte hain. Ke it's a need, it's a necessity, kya karein, phas gaye, ab to kharch karna padega, right? Halakhe, in Islam, this is not to be viewed as a necessity. Spending money on your wife, on your children, is a mustaqil ibadat. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the best sadaqah, the best charity that any person can give is to give it on your own wife, on your children, spend on your family. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the one dinar, that which is spent in the path of Allah, that is spent in the path of Allah. Then there is another dinar which is spent to set a slave free, and you will get the reward for setting a slave free. And then there is one dinar which is spent on the family. Fa'afzalu dinar. The most afzal dinar is that dinar that is spent on your spouse, on your family, on your children. So spending money, this will be a source of earning the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that on the day of Qiyamah, the first action which will be placed on the scale, on the name, on the weight, the mizan, will not be your salah. The first action will not be your roza, it will not be your zakat, but the first thing that will be placed on the mizan, on the name amal, in the mizan which will be weighing your name amal, will be the money, the wealth that you spend on your family. So yahan se andaza lagaye ki hum masjid mein kabhi sadqa dete hain to we hope ki hum is ajr milega. You spend money on the orphan, the needy, to ek umeed hoti hai ki hume jara sawab milega. Lekin hum apni biwi bachchon pe kharch karte hain to kabhi sochte nahi hai ki is pe bhi ajr milega. Halanki is pe sabse zyada ajr milta hai. The greatest reward that a person can get is by spending money on their wife, on their children. And then on the other hand, when a person gets married, you also get the opportunity to do khidmat of the other individual. Khidmat kar sakta hai. Aur khidmat karna bhi ek ibadat hai. Balki aisi ibadat hai, jisse aise Allah Ta'ala ke qurb ke darajat mil jate hain, which sometimes you will not be able to attain through your regular ibadat. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, when he got married, he was traveling with his wife and she was expecting. And they passed by an area where it was extremely, you know, extremely cold. So, mausam thanda hai, or she is expecting. You see, then Musa alayhi salam, he realized that my wife, she needs some warmth. Koi cheez aag chahiye ya koi aisi jagah leke jana hai, so that she can get that warmth which is going to help her. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam looks here and there, and then dude, he sees this mountain on which there is this fire type of a thing. So he tells his wife that I'm yahan rukhe, and then I see this fire, then maybe wahan koi rehta hai, ya maybe mujhe kuch aag mil jayegi, ya koi rehta hai who will guide me on the way, who can guide me towards abadi, towards people, towards civilized, towards, you know, civilized society. So aap yahan rukhe, main aata hun. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, he goes there with the niyat of what? The niyat of khidmat, a concern, this concern for his wife. And he goes to that mountain, Mount Tur, and there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with an abuwat. Allah ta'ala makes him kalimullah. Aur is poor episode ke andar, you don't find any ibadat ka tazkara nahi hai ki Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam ne koi ibadat kari ho, ya koi kharcha kiya ho, ya koi ro. There's nothing else. The only thing that is mentioned in this whole episode is that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he had a concern for his wife. And because of that concern, he went to Mount Tur to get fire. And Allah Ta'ala blessed him with nabuwat. So, kabhi kabar, ibadat, regular ibadat ke zariye, insan ko wo maqamat, wo darajat, wo qurb ka jo Allah Ta'ala se taluk hai, wo nahi mil sakta, jo insan ko khidmat ke zariye. Or when a person jab nikah ho jata to ye to khidmat hi hai. This should be one of our intentions, that I want to do khidmat of my wife. Yes, Islam mein this is khidmat, you're serving. You're the qawamun. But qawam means caretaker. You're supposed to fulfill you're supposed to take care of the needs of your spouse. You're supposed to serve, you're supposed to help, you're supposed to assist. You're supposed to support her, assist her. That's what qawam means. It's not a dictator, right? So, ab andaza lagayein ki sahih Bukhari Sharif mein there is a riwayah that there was a prostitute, a zaniya, a woman who used to commit adultery not once or twice, wo aadatan karti thi. That was a profession. But she saw this dog who was thirsty and she gave water to that thirsty dog. And us kutte ko pani pilaya to Allah Ta'ala ne iske badle Allah Ta'ala ne uske tamam gunah ko maaf farma diye aur toba ki taufeeq ata farma di. Allah Ta'ala decreed for her to enter into jannat. To agar ek pyaase kutte ko pani pilane ke upar itni khidmat kariye, kya khidmat hai ki sirf pyaase kutte ko pani pilaye, Allah Ta'ala ne iske upar maghfirat kar di aur jannat ka faisla farma diya. To jab miyan biwi hote hain to usme kisi ko kaha ke pani de do, pani bhi hota hai, khilate bhi hain, bahar se jaake cheeze bhi leke aate hain, itni khidmatein kar rahe hote hain, to
تو اللہ تعالیٰ اس پہ کتنا اجر عطا فرمائیں گے، اللہ تعالیٰ کتنا ثواب عطا فرمائیں گے. تو یہ سوچنے کی بات ہے کہ اسلام میں میرج از ناٹ سمپلی اباؤٹ فلفلنگ آور نیڈس. وی شوڈ ریکگنائز دیٹ اٹ از اے ٹریمینڈس اپرچونیٹی ٹو کم کلوز ٹو اللہ سبحانہ تعالیٰ. اچھا پھر کیا ہوتا ہے میرج کے اندر؟ یو آلسو ہیو چلڈرن رائٹ. یہ ایک نیت بھی ہونی چاہیے دیٹ آئی وانٹ ٹو میری بیکاز آئی وانٹ ٹو گیٹ چلڈرن. اینڈ وائی؟ بیکاز دیئر از اے حدیث ویئر دی پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سیڈ دیٹ میری سو دیٹ یو کین ملٹیپلائی اینڈ یو کین انکریز مائی امت. Right? And the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said that قیامت کے دن پہ میں فخر کروں گا کہ میری امت زیادہ ہے. I will be able to do فخر with other انبیاء علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کہ میری امت ہی زیادہ ہے. تو یہ ایک نیت کر سکتے ہیں ہم لوگ کہ آئی وانٹ ٹو میری سو دیٹ آئی کین گیٹ مور چلڈرن سو دیٹ آئی ول انکریز دا امت آف دا پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اینڈ دا پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ول ڈو فخر اپون می. سو اگین یو کین لنک دس وتھ اسپرچوالٹی رائٹ. ایک نیت ہونی چاہیے. دین ہاؤ ڈز قرآن اسپیک اباؤٹ دس؟ There is a very beautiful metaphor where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains what marriage is and what this marital bond is between a husband and a wife. And the tashbih, that the metaphor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Quran is that of a garment, clothing, libas. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. That you, yani the husbands, you are a garment, you are a libas for your wife. And your wife, she is a libas for you. This is so beautiful. If you keep thinking, keep reflecting, keep pondering, isme itni hikmat hai that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use libas to explain this husband-wife relationship? First reason is that libas covers your fault. And this is what a husband-wife relationship is supposed to be. Husband is supposed to cover the faults of his wife. And the wife, she is supposed to cover the faults of her husband. Because jab saath rehte hain to zahiri baat hai, no one is picture perfect, right? Chahe jitna hum apne aap ko present kare as all perfect, right? Apne aib hote hain, apni kamiyan hoti hain, apni kotaiyan hoti hain. Ek mamle mein acche hote hain to dusre mamle ke andar kuch kamiyan bhi hoti hain. And when you're living together, naturally those faults will become apparent to each other. So the marriage, the way Allah looks at marriage is that you're supposed to cover each other's faults. You're supposed to conceal. Ek just libas, the way libas covers, you cover each other's faults. Ek aibon ko chhupane wali baat hai. So that is the first thing that we understand from this. Second, the libas is also something which protects you from extreme weathers. Agar bahut sardi hoti hai to libas protects you. Similarly, garmi ke mausam mein bhi libas acts as a protection. In the same way, husband-wife relationship is supposed to be a relationship of protection for each other. Husband, he protects his wife. The wife, she provides protection to her husband. Both of them, they're a source of protection, a security and a support for each other. Just like a libas is a source of security and protection for yourself from the external environment. Shaadi mein bhi kabhi environment kharab ho jata hai. Right, because of a third person, third party, you know, things are going up and down. Ups bhi aate hain, downs bhi aate hain, there are crises bhi aate hain, financial difficulties bhi aate hain, there are some tests and trials and tribulations. Tragedies also happen within nikah. But husband-wife is supposed to be such a strong bond with each other that they're always protecting, always a source of comfort, always a source, they're a source of tranquility, peace for each other. Third thing about libas is that it gives you grace. It gives you beauty. Ek jamal paida hota hai. And in the same way, the husband-wife relationship, they're supposed to, each partner is supposed to give the other a beauty. You're supposed to be a source of izzat for the other individual. A source of respect, grace, integrity, honor for the other individual. Right, that's how this bond is supposed to be. That you are like that husband, right? You are like the husband that because you are such a good husband, your wife gets grace. Your wife, she gets respect. Your wife, she gets honor. She gets dignity because you are such a good husband. Right? You're like a libas to her. That's what Allah is saying. That hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahum. Right? And the fourth and the last thing about libas is
Libas is the closest thing to your physical jism. It's the thing which is closest to you. And yahan bhi ishara hai ke you should make your wife the closest to you. She should be the closest to you.
Bilkul.
That kind of a relationship we are supposed to have in our vridhi. So now that we have understood, right, that we can mention several things else. Like in what? The first principle is that we need to think about marriage spiritually as well. That it is a way to attain the qurb of Allah and a way to attain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the second principle is that you need to save yourself until you get married. Save yourself for marriage. What does it mean? Ke shadi se pehle, if a person does things which you're supposed to do within shadi, then this takes away the barakah from marriage itself. Having affairs, having such relationships premarital, before marriage, and doing such things and deriving lazzat in a way which you're supposed to do with your lawfully wedded wife, if a person does this before marriage, then you will get the lazzat, but you will lose out on the lazzat that you were supposed to get in marriage. The way you can understand this is, every human being, they have a limited quota of how much lazzat they will get from this. Har bande ka ek fixed quota hai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed that this is the amount of lazzat that you will get in this aspect of your life. It's now up to us. If a person fulfills their quota pre-marriage, then post-marriage that lazzat is already taken, the quota is already over. And then throughout their marriage, they will not be able to find that sukoon. They will not be able to find that what Allah Ta'ala says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that get tranquility from her, sukoon from her, contentment from her, sukoon nahi rahega. They'll be be-sukooni, be-karari, be-itmanani, be-barkati in marriage. Always fighting, always bickering, always shouting, always screaming, always having flashpoints, always, having these in-house fighting with each other. And unfortunately, we see this a lot in our culture as well, and even other cultures as well, right? We see that because sometimes a person is not careful about what they're doing before marriage, right? That has a direct impact on what a person does after marriage. We were in Michigan. My wife, she was mentioning that there was a university couple. And before they got married, for 4 years in university they would live, and they had this affair relationship with each other, and they were the talk of the town. They were the talk of the university. Everyone knew the lovebirds, right? They're always talking, always with each other. It's such a beautiful couple. They're so compatible with each other, and they're always people unko dekhte the, ye to rush karte the ki agar couple ho to aisa couple ho. Right? So they spend their 4 years at university like that. Just sort of hota, you have university mein couples ban jate, and then they live, right? So they lived like that, and then they decided that theek hai, now let's get married. And then finally when they got married after graduating from university, so they got married, and then within roughly three months that marriage collapsed. Their marriage collapsed and they were filing for divorce, and eventually they separated. They said that we cannot live together. And ab yahan kya ho raha tha, right? 4 saal tak, right? They were the talk of the entire college campus, ke this is the perfect couple, match made in heaven. Lekin the moment they got married, within 3 months, the marriage could not last for 3 months. Why? This is the be-barkati, right? The be-barkati of those 4 years before marriage came down when they got married within 3 months. So, yeah, there is a way out of it if a person makes tawbah. Right? They make tawbah, they leave that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a second chance. But if a person doesn't repent of this sin, they continue in such interact, such engagement, such affairs, such relationships, pre-marriage, right? So, barakat khatam kar deti. Aur phir, you know, kabhi kabhi hum pareshan hote hain, puri zindagi shaadi shuda guzar rahe hote hain, lekin wo sukoon nahi mil raha hota. Aur wo sukoon milega kaise, kyunki sukoon tumne pehle le chuka hai. Wo lazzat milegi kaise, wo lazzat hum pehle le chuke hain. This is one of the most important principles to remember, that we need to save ourselves. ये मुश्किल काम होता है, मुश्किल काम होता है, लेकिन अगर ये, लेकिन this is the नुस्खा. People ask, how can you get a successful, happy, you know, zabardast marital, exemplary marital life? It starts before that you have to save yourself for that marriage. And when you make that sacrifice, when you make that mujahida, then because of your mujahida, Allah will put barakah. Allah will put barakah in your marital life, then you will have an exemplary, you know, zabardast marital life. That will happen, but you have to make mujahida before, struggle before, sacrifices before that. So what kind of sacrifices do we need to make? Obviously, you need to restrain your nafs. Restrain yourself, right? And in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ gave us a few other tips as well, that for those who can marry, you should marry. And those who are not able to marry, but they have this problem of desires, they should fast. They should fast. Fasting is a shield that can save a person from these unlawful, from giving into those unlawful desires. So fasting, and again, you can fast, you know, 3 days every month. On the 13th, 14th and 15th, you can fast every week. Agar problems are there, fast every week, Mondays and Thursdays. And if a person really has a lot of problem, right, some of our teachers, they say that you can fast even every alternative. Alternative days, right? But this is one way. And the other is to control our gaze, right? To safeguard our gaze, to control our gaze. And if we can control our gaze, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us the halawat, the lazzat, right? When actually we get married. Then the third principle, I believe, is also a very important principle which not many people speak about, that don't delay your marriage unnecessarily. I know couples here in Pakistan, I know boys in Pakistan, they view themselves as boys, wo adult, wo mard ho chuke hain, boode ho chuke hain meri nazar ke andar, wo apne aap ko abhi bhi boy samajhte hain. They're cross 30, cross 35, abhi abhi boy, aur boy wali harkatein kar rahe hote hain, right? Don't delay, you know, there's a concept that you want to be happily married. You know, they are happily unmarried. Happily unmarried. There's a separate category of people, right? But this is, you know, a problematic. And it's problematic for a couple of reasons. Like, deeni reason bhi hai, right? Deeni reason to ye hai, because, you know, the Islam says that as soon as you have the ability, get married, right? And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that those who intend to get married, they will get the special help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the three things which will attract the special rahmat, the help of Allah Ta'ala, one of them is when you make the irada to get married. Irada kare. Right? You make that commitment that I want to, you speak to your parents, you say that I want to get, you know, I'm at that age, main kar sakta, I want to. Then Allah Ta'ala will put this life, your circumstances, your resources, jo bhi cheeza Allah Ta'ala halat bana denge, which are conducive for you to actually take that final step. So ek niyat shuru se yoni chahi that I want to get an early marriage. Right? Don't delay this. And like I said, ke non-deeni perspective as well, this is harmful to delay marriages. Why? Because let's say, you know, you graduated from university 24, right? Then after that you get a job. Ab job bhi mil gayi, university bhi ho gayi, you're all set. Right? You're all set because you have the place, you're working, and you also have, you know, you completed your education. The Prophet ﷺ got married when he was 25. अगर सुन्नत पे अमल करने तो ये भी तो सुन्नत है 25, राइट? लेकिन होता क्या है, अच्छा हम कमाएंगे कहाँ से, हाँ, रिस्क तो ठीक है, आई अंडरस्टैंड दैट यू नीड टू, एंड दैट्स व्हाट आई एम सेइंग दैट यू नो यू हैव अ स्टेबल जॉब एंड यू आर सॉर्ट ऑफ वर्किंग, राइट? देयर इन द आयत ऑफ द कुरान अल्लाह सुब्हान व तआला मेंशन समथिंग दैट दोज हु आर फकीर देन लेट देम गेट मैरिड, अल्लाह तआला विल मेक देम गनी. Right? And there's also a similar hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, one sahabi came
एंड सेड दैट मुझे थोड़ा सा रिस्क में मसला हो रहा है, मुझे मैं क्या करूँ, द प्रॉफिट सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम सेड गेट मैरिड अल्लाह ताला विल सॉल्व द प्रॉब्लम ऑफ योर रिस्क. अल्लाह अकबर. एंड दिस इज समथिंग वी हैव सीन इन नाउ सेवरल केसेस, सेवरल पीपल वी नो, पीपल हियर इन पाकिस्तान, पीपल इन द US एज वेल, दैट दे were struggling to get their job, struggling with their MBAs, struggling with completing their master's degree, struggling to get their first job. Lekin irada kar liya ki mujhe nikah karna hai. Allah Ta'ala ne unko MBA bhi mukammal ho gaya, master's bhi mukammal ho gaya, and they also got their first job as well. Plus Allah Ta'ala gave them enough that mashallah se they started living properly, right? Apna ghar bhi le liya, apni gaadi bhi le li hai, maze mein. तो अल्लाह ताला की बरकत होती है, हर बंदा अपना रिस्क खुद लेके आता है. वेटिंग फॉर दैट परफेक्ट हाउस एंड परफेक्ट कार एंड द परफेक्ट सैलरी एंड द परफेक्ट करियर एंड दैट परफेक्ट हिज दैट परफेक्ट थिंग विल नेवर कम, राइट? दैट टाइप ऑफ परफेक्शन विल नेवर कम, राइट? ये शैतान का एक हरबा होता है. इट्स अ डिसेप्शन ऑफ शैतान, बिकॉज शैतान नोस. डोंट थिंक दैट यू आर इन दिस अलोन, शैतान इज विद यू. Right? And Shaitan will try his level best to ensure that number one, you don't get married. And number two, when you get married, then will try to create problems within that marriage. Right? This is Shaitan. In Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Shaitan will try to cause separation between couples. Right? And awwal tu wo chahega, why does Shaitan want you not to marry? Because he knows the nikah is babul ibadat. So many doors of ibadat will open for this individual, doesn't want you to complete chariman. So he will create such thoughts within you, that kamaoge kaise, khaoge kaise, right? Don't wait for that delusion. Don't wait for that time that everything will be perfect. If you have a basic education, if you have a basic job, you're ready, right? You're ready and you can get married. Allah Ta'ala will give you more risk. Allah Ta'ala will give you barakah. Allah Ta'ala will give you kasrat. Allah Ta'ala will give you barakat as well. Dono cheeze milenge. And Allah Ta'ala will give you His help as well. Special assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Achha, normally what happens is that if you delay your marriages for long, ek do saal, do teen saal, phir bhi theek hai. Par jo hota na ke 30 plus and happily unmarried, and then 35 plus and happily unmarried. There is, you know, your 20s, 25, 26, 27, 20, these are the prime time of your youth. And you're still moldable, you're still malleable, you can adapt. If you get married, the person whom you're marrying, she will not be exactly like you, right? So thoda sa you will need to adapt, thoda sa she will need to adapt. But this age is such where it's easily for each other to adapt. You're still malleable. The aadat itni rigid nahi hoti, itni stubborn nahi hoti, ki aap dusre ki khatir thoda tabdili kar sakte hain. You can change a bit part of yourself, you can change a part of your character, you can change a part of your routine. Kuch cheezein hoti hain jo aapko change karni padti hain to be able to live together, right? And this age is, it's easily you can change those things about yourself. All of us changed, right? Hum jo shaadi se pehle the badal gaye, right? Badalna padta hai. Agar badalenge nahi to how will you be able to live? How will you be able to live with the other person, right? So you need to change. You should get this pony out of your mind, right? That I can be as it is. Marriage means give and take. Marriage means adaptability. Marriage means you need to have some tolerance level, right? Some clearance level. So you need to learn all of these skills. You need, the learning that takes time. Like at this stage of your life, it's easy to learn. It's easy to change. It's easy to adapt. When you cross 30, and especially late 30s, and unfortunately there are people like that, right? Unnecessarily, there is a need, right? But unnecessarily delaying, when you reach that particular age of your life, habits become rigid. Aadat badi pakki ho jati hai, badi pukhta ho jati hai, phir badalna mushkil ho jata hai. Aur jab aadat badalna mushkil ho jata hai, then फिर वो फ्लैश पॉइंट्स होते हैं, राइट? द अदर पर्सन कम्स इन एंड यू नॉट एबल टू एडजस्ट, यू नॉट एबल टू अडैप्ट, एंड एज अ रिजल्ट देन दैट मैरिज बिकम्स वेरी डिफिकल्ट. सो द की टू अ सक्सेसफुल मैरिज इज अडैप्टेबिलिटी.
Then finally, now we come to the fourth principle. And the fourth principle is, now when you are choosing, so how should you choose, right? And here I will, you know, all of you have heard this very famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that when you, what's the criteria? That the criteria when you look for a woman, the Prophet ﷺ said, is that a woman can be married for four reasons. Number one, her wealth. Number two, her lineage, yani nasab. Number three, her beauty. And number four, her deen. And the Prophet ﷺ said that seek that woman which has deen. Now let's open this up, right? My fourth principle is that prioritize deen. When you're choosing, prioritize deen. Even though looks, wealth, and hasab nasab, they're permissible. Permissible, hai, they should be on the table, you should be looking at those things. But prioritization should be given to deen. Why? The reason is because every relationship you need a bond. You need something stable on which that relationship can be built. The foundation needs to be stable, such that if everything else goes away, that foundation remains, right? So normally what happens is that the glue which is holding the husband-wife together, sometimes there is an emotional need, sometimes there is a physical attraction, sometimes children, right? Bachon ki khate, they're married. Sometimes it's, you know, it's just, you know, kuch aur, you know, there's emotional hai, physical hai, children hai, right? So there are different reasons why they will be together, that glue which is holding them together. But these are things which can come and go. So for example, that emotional attachment can dwindle as years pass by. That physical attraction can also reduce as years pass by. Children, they grow old, they leave you, they have their own lives. That bond also weakens when the children go away. So it means that at the end of the day, then there is nothing on which your relationship is standing. Right? If these are the only things that were married on the basis, then this is the only thing that is left behind, it is left behind, it is left behind. And if God knows that these things go away, then what is your relationship standing upon? Nothing. Hollow. Vacuum. That is why the Prophet ﷺ said that make the bunyad a spiritual bond. The bunyad, the base is, like, think about like a pyramid, right? The base should be spiritual. The base should be deen. The base should be the relationship with Allah. Right? That is the base, and then on that base, you can put up other things as well. The physical attraction should be there, definitely. The emotional connection should also be there, right? Attractive should be also there. Children, nasab, wealth, all of those things, keep adding, keep adding. But if you put the base as deen, then even if the other things go away, there are ups and downs in your life, right? The base will always be there, right? And hence the marriage will always be stable. The marriage will always be, will remain. Right? So, if you look at this hadith, right, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, keep the spiritual as, make it a spiritual basis, right? But then there are other things which are mentioned. Number one is wealth. Now, ye bahut hota hai, aap logon ko pata bhi hai, ke maal to aisi cheez hai jo aati jaati hai. Right? One day this person has a lot of wealth, and the other, you know, the wealth goes away. Abhi to, you know, so wealth is again temporary, it's fleeting, comes and goes. Similarly, second thing is nasab. Ke nasab is also important. Dekhna chahiye ki kaisa nasab hai, khandan kaisa hai, right? Lekin prioritization should be deen. Priority should be given to deen. Aur kabhi kabar ye bhi dekhna chahiye ki the person himself, you know, what is she like? Ho sakta hai khandan to bahut acha ho, right? Lekin wo khud achi na, right? Wo khud, she has a very different way of looking at her life. So par aise shakhs ka kya fayda, right? Ki aapne, you're not marrying the parents, you're not marrying the khandan, you're marrying her, right? She needs to be of a particular, right? Then a compatibility should be there.
So khandan is important, right? But it should not be the basis, right? Then third thing is beauty. Now I should mention first, I'm going to clarify, that attraction is important in Abradi. There is a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, then marry people whom you are attracted to, right? So attraction, physical attraction, that is there. I'm not negating that, right? However, attraction and beauty, they're two different things. Attraction and beauty, they're two different things. So, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make her beautiful for you, right? And people say beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. So, an overemphasis on looks, overemphasis, right? That is also not a healthy basis for our deen. Why? Because now there is a plastic surgeon in America who said something which is quite a mazeki cheese. He said to the women that, look, if you want, I can make you the most beautiful woman in the world, but I cannot make the ugliest man fall in love with you. Right? I can make you the most beautiful woman in the world, but I cannot make the ugliest man fall in love with you. What does that mean? That means that beauty is something different from attraction, from love. Love can be ingredients chahiye hota. So that is why we should think that yes, physically attractive, but that perfect model jo humne zehen mein banaya hua hai. Right, ke gori chitti height 6 aur itna aur ye color aur naak aisi aur color aisa aur kabhi baar mardon ki itni nahi hoti requirements, so mardon ki maaon ki zyada hoti hai. Right, the mother, Allahu Akbar Kabira. Right, you know the kind of cases that my wife, she keeps telling me, right, ke baar hum chahte hain ki, but you know, bet ladka ho, wo acha deendar ho aur nahi wo beti ki nahi aate na कि वो अच्छा दीनदार बच्ची होनी चाहिए, शुभ दीनदार गर्ल, लेकिन गोड़ी चिट्टी होनी चाहिए और उसकी हाइट इतनी होनी चाहिए और नाक थोड़ी ऐसी होनी चाहिए. राइट, सो दीज थिंग्स आर नॉट इन आवर दीन, दीज थिंग्स आर नॉट इन आवर दीन, एंड यू नो अ पर्सन शुड नॉट सैक्रिफाइस अ गुड रिश्ता बिकॉज ऑफ दीज थिंग्स. राइट, इफ देर इज दीन इन दैट वुमन, राइट, इफ देर इज अट्रैक्शन, right, and if there is a worldly compatibility, then that's all what that matters in our deen. Haan, kabhi kabhi aisa hota hai ki, you know, surat to bahut achhi hai, lekin sirat kaisi thi? Right, you're marrying the surat. There's a joke that people say about marriage, that pehle din you look at the surat, phir puri zindagi you're looking at the sirat of that individual. Agar surat hi surat hai, no sirat, then what's, you know, that, you know, it's unhealthy, right? You need to look at both the things, surat as well as sirat, right? And sometimes beauty, like I said, it goes away, right? It's also temporary, it's also fleeting. It comes and goes, and the prettiest, most beautiful women, right, in her 20s would become all wrinkles when she is 40, 50, 60, right? So that cannot be made, again, that cannot be made the basis. The basis has to be something which is more permanent, which is more established, right? Which is more stable. Acha. Now that we, so this was one hadith. Then there is another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that when, that you should marry someone who is suitable to you. Suitability. That when the one whom you are pleased with his deen and his manners comes to you seeking your daughter in marriage, marry him. Otherwise, fitna and great corruption will become widespread in the earth. Right? Any suitability. Now, in the deen of Islam then, if you want to summarize, what is the criteria for looking, right, looking for a prospective spouse? There are two things. One is deen, that you look at their deen. And the other is that you look at their compatibility. I want to open up both of these things. What do they mean? When we speak about looking at the deen of the girl, so number one, you should look at her, you know, taqwa. Ke khuda ka khauf hai, does she have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? How is a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because ultimately, outwardly, everyone can be pretend to be very nice, very cute, very good conversations, and you know, it's very easy to deceive the other person when you're just at that particular stage. Lekin jab puri zindagi guzarna hota hai, so for that, there you need taqwa, you need the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you have to discharge the other person's rights. And if she does not have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not have taqwa in her heart, very difficult for that marriage to remain stable. Because again, taqwa nahi hai, that basis is not there. Right? So taqwa, the fear of Allah, the connection of Allah, the relationship with Allah, that is something we should be looking for. Another thing is that look at her Islamic education as well. She will grow up to become the mother of your children. And she will be raising up your children. And you would want your children to be raised up on the principles of Islam. So for that, she knows deen ki ilm hona chahiye. Kam az kam agar alima nahi bhi hai, to kam az kam basic ilm zarur hona chahiye. Itna ilm ho ki wo apni bachchon ki proper tarbiyat kar sake. And unfortunately, isme bhi bahut kotahi hoti hai. Ke the husband unko bhi ilm nahi hai, the wife, she also doesn't have that ilm, and as a result the children, they grow up and they're clueless. Right? So we should look for someone ja Allah Taala ka ek connection, they have the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, plus they also have some level of knowledge about their deen as well. Right? So ilm ki badi barakat hoti hai. Agar koi alima se ho jaye shaadi aur jo muttaqi bhi ho, to phir maza hota hai ek sense mein, because at least you are safe about the children, kyunki tarbiyat hogi to acche mahol ke andar hogi, deen ke values ke upar hogi. So I cannot emphasize how big a relief this is. Otherwise to phir insaan apne bare mein pareshan hota hai, your relationship with your wife, but also then your children as well, because ye to naslon ka mamla hota hai. Right, your children, the whole lineage, right? What will happen to them? And the third thing to look for in their deen is their akhlaq. Ke akhlaq kaise? Seerat kaise? Right? So, akhlaq, kitna sabr hai? Kitna shukr hai? How much generosity, how much compassion, how much affection? Ye akhlaq, something which we should be looking at. Then after deen, the other thing we should be looking at is worldly compatibility. In compatibility, check for the family background. Kam az kam ek hi background ho. Ki if you went to university, she should also have gone to university. Taki jab baat kare, to you can speak and she can understand. Right? Otherwise, aap bol rahe hain, she is not able to understand ki kahan ke. So there has to be some level of compatibility. The wavelength has to match, the frequency has to match in terms of worldliness as well. So, you know, university education, agar you know, sometimes people say doctor hai to doctor se hi shaadi karni chahiye, theek hai, kar sakta, right? Sometimes doctors can understand doctors better, right? So that is fine. Education, profession, these are things you should be looking at in terms of worldly compatibility. Family background as well. Right, what kind of background they have in their family, and obviously compatibility, that is attraction, maybe dekhni hogi, how much attracted you are to that individual. Now how do you check for these things, right? How do you know that she is muttaqi? How do you know that she has knowledge of deen? How do you know she has good akhlaq? So isme one thing is that you can try to you know, find mutual friends. If you're in university ke andar hai, you can find mutual friends, someone who's understanding, you know, mutual friends, some intermediary who knows you, who knows them as well. You can do some investigation, try to find out from your mutual friends, family friends, relatives about what kind of individual that person is. And there are ways to do this, right? Profile check kar lein, right? You can check maybe their teachers, right?
connect to their teachers, ask them that how was she, or you can even ek do waqiat hain lekin wo khalas next time I'll share them with you. There are ways to go about checking how much dunyavi compatibility there is. If there is someone on campus that you like, right, then mamla is very easy. Right, one thing you need to do is just stop, right? You stop, right? And then number one, you can either, you know, put some intermediary in between, speak to some intermediary who knows you, who knows them, that you're interested, and let's see if they're also interested or not. And then tell your parents as well, right? Bring your parents on board into that equation so that it's not you and directly her, right? Bring some third person, some intermediary, as well as your parents, and then do it the halal way. We don't want to stop you, but we want to make this into a halal relationship. Alhamdulillah, I know many friends of mine who are at university, and mashallah, they did this the halal way, they got attracted, feelings ho jati, right? But if you're clear about someone at university, that this is the person, right, then just do it, right? Stop that relationship, stop there, right? And then do that, bring third person, intermediary, speak to your parents, and then take it from there. So you can take help from your teachers. Sometimes if you don't know, right, kisse karni hai, take help from like-minded people, like-minded friends, your relatives. Yahan mujhe pehle itna pata nahi tha, lekin after getting married, I'm learning more about this concept of rishta aunties. And it seems to work remarkably well in our society. Right? Rishta aunties, ye, agar if it is done properly, right, ye zabardast tarika, right? That you give a, aap jaate hain, apne requirements bata dete hain, and then there's someone who connects you. Right? So this is also one of the ways which can be done. So, you know, rishta aunties, your parents, your relatives, your teacher, your like-minded friends, right? Like-minded friends also have a lot of role to play, and especially college friends, right? Like-minded college friends, wo zabardast aapko rishte bata sakte hain, right? And especially if one of them is married, right? Then to puri duniya khul jati hai, right? If they're married, now they know everyone, and because of their wife. So approach them, right? Tell them, acha, now what do you need to do here? What you need to do is that, especially when you're taking help with other people, one principle is that you need to communicate your preference very clearly to the other individual. And this also means your parents. Sometimes parents ke zehen mein ek hota hai ki aise honi chahiye, right? And aapki preference bilkul kuch aur hoti hai. You need to clearly communicate this to your parents ki mujhe ye chahiye. I want someone who has a relationship with Allah. I want someone who has some level of knowledge of Islam. I want someone where, you know, some prioritized deen, akhlaq. Aap unko clearly bataein ki mere liye ye cheez is important, and this is priority. Many times the mistake that guys they make here is ki wo they leave it everything to their parents, right? Ki bas wo decide karenge whatever they decide, and unka criteria bilkul mukhtalif hota hai. Ke aisi gori, aisa ye. But they're looking from a very different criteria. You need to have open channels of communication. Completely open channels of communication, at least about this one issue of your life. Baaki baatein aap unki har baat maan le. Right? Lekin isme zindagi aapko guzarni. Agar if you end up with the wrong person, someone who has no inkling with deen se bahut doori hai, and you wanted someone deendar, phas gaye. And then literally aap phas jate hain, the whole home environment, children, everything gets affected. Why? Because you left the decision completely to your parent. This is that one area, that one aspect of your life where you can't put your foot down. Agar koi aisa bilkul hi namunasib rishta hai, tar aap kehte hain mujhe deendar chahiye, someone, at least something in deen, right? Some connection with Allah, and that other person is completely off, right? It's just looks, right? Then you can say to your parents, aram se, hikmat se, mohabbat se, try to convince them. Because at the end of the day,
पेरेंट्स एक्चुअली दे डोंट नो व्हाट यू वांट. उनके जहन में होता है कि बस यू नो एट द बॉटम ऑफ द हार्ट दे वांट व्हाट इज बेस्ट फॉर यू बट दे डोंट नो व्हाट इज बेस्ट फॉर यू राइट. दे वांट व्हाट इज बेस्ट फॉर यू बट यू नीड टू टेल देम व्हाट इज बेस्ट फॉर यू दैट दिस इज व्हाट आई एम लुकिंग फॉर. And when you tell them, that will help them as well to search for, you know, someone who fits that criteria. So, unko bataye aur khul ke bataye and don't shy away from this. Don't feel embarrassed. Keep this channel completely open. This, you know, this channel of communication will be completely open and have a very open and a very frank and a very honest relationship with your parents about this. Now, what is the process in deciding then that is this really the person? So here one thing is that you need to use your head first before your heart. Pehle apna use your head, and by head means that just check for these things. Like I said, check for deeni compatibility, check for dunyavi compatibility, and you know, you check for things like You can even have a meeting with that person, right? When you can meet that other person, and in fact in Islam it's recommended to meet that individual, and in that meeting it's not interrogation, right? FBI agent ban jaye and just interrogating batao, you know, not like that, but keep open-ended questions. Ask, you know, acha, what is your concept about Islamic marriage, right? What is your, how do you spend your free time? How, you know, what scholars influence you, right? You know, keep it open-ended, that the other person doesn't feel that, you know, this person is just bombarding these questions at me. Do it gently, do it with wisdom, keep it open-ended, but ask, then what is your daily schedule like? What are your career plans, right? What are your plans for raising a family? And what are your aspirations in life? Ask such questions, there is no harm. And by getting the answers to this question, you will get a feeling about what the other person is. Right? You can, I know one person, unhone like interview sheet bana di thi, right? And they sent that as an email, that I have a few questions, again, very open, very broad-minded questions, that I would like if you can answer these questions. So, this can be done, right? This should be done in some cases as well, if you don't know that other person so closely. Then, you can also what not to do here is that don't make assumptions about the other person. That if she wears a hijab, she is definitely religious. Doesn't mean so. Not necessarily. Right? Sometimes, you know, person, she wears hijab, but they're not religious from the inside. Hota? Right? You need to be, don't make assumptions. If there is something, you can ask her, right? And also, don't expect the other person to change completely. If 25 years of her life, she wasn't able to change, right? Then magic koi wand nahi hai that after marriage, ekdam se she'll be able to change. It's not like that. Yes, part of herself she will be able to adjust, but radically she will not be able to change. Right? Ki achcha main bhi shaadi kar leti hu to phir to bilkul hi phir deendar ho jayegi. Right? Abhi to bilkul kuch nahi, hijab bhi nahi, dupatta bhi nahi, right? Sleeveless. And jab main shaadi kar lunga to phir to mashallah abaya burka sab aa jayega, right? Kyun main deendar. Ab is tarike se radical changes they don't come, right? Illa mashallah. So don't expect them to change, right? Like that. Don't make assumptions like that. And also very important, don't ignore your gut feeling. Your gut feeling matters a lot as well. Right? If your gut feeling is telling you something, 9 out of 10 times, you know, usme koi na koi haqeeqat hoti hai, koi na koi wazan hota hai. So just keep that gut feeling also before you. Don't ignore that completely. Alright? So first thing is that you're using your head. Then once you're using, after that, then is that you take mashwara from other people around you. You inquire, you investigate, right? Take advice from other people. And then third is you take advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Islam, this is called istikhara.
अब मेनी पीपल हैव क्वेश्चंस के इस्तखारा कैसे करना चाहिए, मुझे उसका नाम नज़र आ जाएगा, मुझे उसका इल्हाम हो जाएगा, राइट, मुझे ख्वाब में वो नज़र आएगी, क्या होगा? तो ये भी थोड़ा समझ लें कि इस्तखारा क्या होता है. इस्तखारा इज़ वेरी सिंपल, दैट व्हेनेवर यू आर अनडिसाइडेड अबाउट समवन, दैट इज़ शी द वन और समवन एल्स इज़ द वन, या इज़ शी करनी है या नहीं करनी, राइट, यू आर अनडिसाइडेड 50-50. सो देन यू प्रे टू रकत नफिल विद द नियत ऑफ इस्तखारा, and then after that you recite salat istikhara, the dua istikhara, and in that dua istikhara you should be reflecting on the words, because iske maane bahut khoobsurat hai ke ya allah ye jo decision hai, is she the one, aur agar iske andar khair hai, barkat hai, if this decision has khair and barkat for me, my deen, my dunya, my akhirah, then allah let this be the one, and Allah guide me to her, and make this process easy for me, and help me, and put barakah in this for me. And on the other hand, if she is not the one, and if she is not suitable for my deen, for my dunya, for my akhirah, then Allah take me away from her, and take her away from me. Both ways, right? Take me away and take her away from me, and grant me someone better, and then grant me your raza and barakah in that decision for myself. So we should, this is called salate istikhara. Ab salate istikhara hame chahiye ki hum iski aadat bana le, aur specially nikah ke mamle ke andar isko hum 3 din kare, 7 din kare, 14 din kare, lagatar karte rahe, karte rahe jab tak your heart tilts one way or the other. In istikhara Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire your heart, and you will receive the inspiration when your heart will turn one way or the other. Abhi 50-50 hai, you're not sure, unsure, right? So when you keep doing istikhara, the heart will begin to tilt, either she is or she is not, right? And when you feel the tilt in your heart, then you should know ki this is now the dua coming true for yourself. And then jahan bhi dil mail ho raha hai, wohi usi mein khair hogi. A person should go for that decision. सो इसमें कोई नाम नज़र नहीं आता. इट्स नॉट कि मैं जा रहा था, मैंने बिलबोर्ड पर उसका नाम देख लिया तो शी इज़ द वन, राइट, ऐसा कुछ नहीं है. ये सब वहमी बातें हैं, इसका इस्तखारा से कोई ताल्लुक नहीं है. इस्तखारा बस मैंने ये तरीका है, सुनना तरीका है जो मैंने आपको बता दिया, बस इसको करते रहें. अगर पहले दिन दिल मायल नहीं हो रहा तो डू इट फॉर 3 days, अगर फिर भी नहीं मायल हो रहा तो कंटिन्यू फॉर एज लॉन्ग एज द हार्ट इज़ नॉट टर्निंग हियर एंड देयर. I'll tell you my own teacher, my own sheikh. वो अपने बारे में वाक़िया बताते हैं कि जब मेरी शादी का वक्त आया, कहते मैंने अपनी पूरी ज़िंदगी अपनी वालदा की हर बात मानी, हर बात, कभी उनको ना नहीं कहा मैं, वो जो कहती थी मैं करता था. हत्ता कि कहते हैं कि मुझे when I graduated from university, I wanted to do PhD. In electrical engineering, because ek zehen tha, I used to come first and second, third, so mera zehen tha shauk padhai ki taraf se, padhai ki taraf zyada tha, to main chahta tha ki I go into academics and I do PhD. But Allah ki shaan ye hua ki the city where I used to live, to wahan there was a sugar mill factory, one of the biggest in Pakistan, if not the biggest, Shakarganj, right, wahan there was an opening for an electrical engineer, and my mother said that beta PhD ko chhod do, yahan aake job kar lo, you'll be with me, mere saath raho, I want ke mere saath raho. To kehte hain ki this was a very big decision for me. Maine apna pura sacrifice, maine apna pura career, I left my career for the sake of my mother, and I came and I started living with my mother, and I went and I did that job. फिर वो एक अलग कहानी है. अल्लाह ताला ने उस रिस्क में इतनी बरकत पैदा कर दी कि 50 साल पहले वो 7 लाख रुपए कमाते थे पढ़ माता, राइट, 50 साल पहले की बात, 40 साल पहले की बात. तो वो एक अलग बात होती है कि वन यू गिव इन टू माँ बाप की खिदमत करते हैं, माँ बाप की बात मानते हैं, तो अल्लाह ताला दुनिया के रिस्क में भी बरकत अता फरमा देते हैं. लेकिन मतलब ये कि उन्होंने हर बात अपनी माँ की मानी, लेकिन वो फरमाते हैं कि जब शादी का वक्त आया तो माई मदर शी वॉन्टेड मी टू मैरी वन ऑफ माई कजन्स, लेकिन मुझे पता था वो दीनदार नहीं है, और मेरी ख्वाहिश थी दैट आई वॉन्टेड टू मैरी समन जो दीनदार,
वो पर्दा भी नहीं करती थी जहाँ मेरी माँ चाहती थी, लेकिन वो होता ना कि वो बेटे खेले हैं, बड़े एक साथ बड़े हुए हैं तो कजन्स हैं, रिश्ता अच्छा जाएगा तो फिर आपस में कनेक्शन और मजबूत हो जाएगा, तो माँ बाप की एक थिंकिंग होती है अपने जहन में, बच्चे पैदा नहीं होते वो पहले से बना लेता है कि जो ना ये द टू विल गेट मैरिड राइट, तो उनकी अपनी प्लानिंग चल रही होती है। तो फरमाते हैं कि मुझे पता था कि दीन वहाँ नहीं है, आई वॉन्टेड टू मैरी समवन एल्स हु हैड दीन एंड दिस वॉज अ वेरी डिफिकल्ट डिसीजन फॉर मी, लेकिन मैंने कहा मुझे तो वहाँ यहाँ करनी है एंड आई डिड नॉट बज फ्रॉम माई डिसीजन बिकॉज आखिरत का मामला था, दीन का मामला था। तो फरमाते हैं कि आखिरकार माई मदर शी ऑल्सो सर कि ठीक है, अगर आपकी चाहत इसी के अंदर है तो आप भी इसी में कर लें, अगर इसमें आप खुश रहेंगे, माँ बाप को तो बस यही चाहिए होता है ना कि जिसमें आपकी खुशी है, तो शी ऑल्सो अग्री। वन द पेरेंट्स ए सेड हाँ, सो ही सेज दैट स्टिल मुझे अभी तक दिल में थोड़ा सा हिचकिचाहट थी, वो एक शरह सदर नहीं हो रहा था, इत्मीनान नहीं हो रहा था, तो फिर मैंने इस्तखारा करना शुरू कर, कहते मैंने इस्तखारा एक दिन किया, दो दिन किया, तीन दिन किया, 7 days, 10 days, फॉर 70 कंसेक्यूटिव डेज आई कंटिन्यू डूइंग इस्तखारा कि या अल्लाह इफ शी इज़ द वन, अल्लाह मेरे दिल को खोल दे, अल्लाह मुझे कोई, मुझे मेरे दिल में एक इत्मीनान अता फरमा कि इफ शी इज़ द वन। अल्लाह की शान फरमाते हैं आफ्टर 70 days, अच्छा द वन शी वॉज यू नो दैट यू नो प्रोस्पेक्टिव स्पाउस शी बिलोंग्ड फ्रॉम द सिद्दीकी खानदान, दैट खानदान विच गोज ऑल द वे बैक टू सैयदना अबू बकर सिद्दीक रज़ी अल्लाह तआला। सो द शेख ही मेंशंस दैट आफ्टर 70 days फिर मुझे ख्वाब में ज़ियारत हुई एंड आई सॉ सैयदना अबू बकर सिद्दीक रज़ी अल्लाह तआला एंड उन्होंने मुझे फरमाया कि आपको हमारी बेटी से निकाह करने में इतना तरद्दुद क्यों हो रहा है, हाँ आपको हमारी बेटी से निकाह करने में इतना तरद्दुद क्यों हो रहा है, कहते हैं बस वो दिन अगले दिन पर आई वेंट आई गिव देयर मैंने रिश्ता भेज दिया उनको। तो कभी हो जाता अगर इंसान इखलास के साथ लगा रहे और इस्तखारा करें तो अल्लाह ताला दिल को खोल देता है, अल्लाह ताला दिखा देते हैं, अल्लाह ताला दिल में इत्मीनान डाल देता है। तो इस्तखारा हमें करना चाहिए। इस्तखारा के साथ साथ यू शुड ऑल्सो लाइक आई सेड लुक एट द प्रोस्पेक्टिव स्पाउस, लेकिन ये उस वक्त होता है जब आपने पहले अपनी तहकीक कर ली एंड योर कंपैटिबिलिटी देख ली कि है एंड वर्ल्डली कंपैटिबिलिटी, दीनी कंपैटिबिलिटी, ऑल ऑफ दैट इज़ फाइन, देन द फाइनल स्टेप इज़ टू एक्चुअली लुक एट दैट पर्सन फिजिकली एंड चेक योर अट्रैक्टिवनेस टू दैट इंडिविजुअल एज वेल। इसमें ये नहीं है कि आपने फर्स्ट स्टेप पे आपने कहा मैं उसका चेहरा तो देख लूँ बाद में बाकी सारी चीज़ें देखूँगा, ऐसे नहीं। This is not some window shopping that you're doing, right? कि पहले एक को देखा फिर दूसरा फिर तीसरा फिर जो, ऐसा नहीं, थोड़ा सा कमिटमेंट हो, थोड़ा सा बाकी सारी चीज़ें टिक 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 एंड देन यस यू कैन गो लुक एट द अदर पर्सन, इन फैक्ट यू शुड लुक एट द पर्सन, लाइक इससे मोहब्बत आपस में बढ़ती है। सो द लास्ट थिंग दैट वी वांट टू मेंशन इज सम दुआज फॉर हाउ टू गेट अ गुड स्पाउस। So I will mention about a few duas here which come in the Quran. Ek dua to hai which is the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, which is a dua that all of us should remember, all of us should memorize. It's a dua that we can recite after every namaz padte hain. Namaz mein you recite tashahhud, ashhadu an la ilaha, right? Then you recite durood sharif, allahumma salli ala. Then you recite Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati. After that and before saying salam, that is the occasion, the place to recite this particular dua. And you can recite this dua farz mein bhi aur nafil ke andar bhi and sunnah as well. The dua is as follows: Rabbana hablana min azwajina
وَزُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. This is 2574, 25 chapter, verse number 74. Iske maayne ye hai ke, O Allah, grant us such wives and offsprings which will be the coolness of my eyes. And Allah, make me the leader of the pious. Hamara tajarba ye hai ke jo shakhs is dua ko shaadi se pehle padhta hai aur phir shaadi ke baad bhi padhta rehta hai, اللہ تعالیٰ ازواجی زندگی کے اندر سکون اور اطمینان عطا فرما دیتا ہے. لیکن یہ اس وقت ہے جو اس کو عادت بنا لیتا ہے کہ آئی ہیونٹ کم اکراس اینی سنگل انڈیویجول جس کی یہ عادت ہو کہ وہ اس دعا کو پڑھتے ہیں ہر فرض میں, ہر سنت, ہر نفل میں, اور ان کو پھر پریشانیاں ایسی ہو رہی ہوں کہ اٹس انمینجبل, انبیئربل. آئی ہیونٹ کم اکراس اے سنگل سچ کیس ان مائی لائف. اور ہمارے مشائخ فرماتے ہیں کہ ان کی زندگی کے اندر بھی کوئی ایسا کیس نہیں ہوا کہ کسی نے آ کے کہا ہو ایسی بات. تو یہ قرآن کی دعا ہے, اس کی برکت ہے, چھوٹی سی دعا ہے, اس کو یاد کر لیں اور اس کو پڑھ لیں. انشاءاللہ جو شادی شدہ نہیں ہے, اللہ تعالیٰ will give you a pious spouse. And those who are married, اللہ تعالیٰ will bless you with the سکون in that life, in that marital life. One دعا. Second دعا is the دعا of سیدنا موسیٰ علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he was unmarried, so he was sitting, he saw that samne there are some people who are taking water from the well, and then the two women, two girls, were just standing on one side in the corner waiting for their turn. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam came to them and said that aap yahan kyun intezar kar rahi hain. So they said that our father is old and we have to wait in line, that these people first will take, وہ پہلے پانی نکالیں گے, اس کے بعد پھر ہماری باری آئے گی, پھر ہم پانی نکال سکتے. تو سیدنا موسیٰ علیہ السلام کی سر, نہیں میں آپ کی مدد کرتا ہوں. انہوں نے ان کے لیے پانی نکال کے دیا, وہ پانی لے کے چلی گئیں. دین سیدنا موسیٰ علیہ السلام ہی کیم, ہی سیٹ انڈر دا ٹری, اینڈ انڈر دا ٹری ہی میڈ اے پرٹیکولر دعا وچ از مینشن ان دا قرآن. ربی انی لما انزلت الی من خیر فقیر. What this means is that, O Allah, indeed I am needy and fakir for whatever good you would send upon me. Theek hai. As a result of this, what happened, those two women, they came back to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and they said that my father, hamare jo walid sahab hai, wo aapko bula rahe. And then eventually, to cut this long story short, let's say that Musa alayhi salam ends up marrying one of the daughters of a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So these are the two prophetic duas, we should make them. Iske alawa ek aam dua bhi hai jo mang sakte hain. Wo ye hai ki Allah Ta'ala, aapne Quran mein farmaya کہ آپ نے ہر چیز کو جوڑا جوڑا بنایا. سورہ یاسین میں آتا ہے that سبحان الذی خلق الازواج کلہا, کہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے ہر چیز کو جوڑا جوڑا بنایا. تو یا اللہ, آپ نے ہر چیز کو اگر جوڑا جوڑا بنایا ہے تو اللہ مجھے بھی جوڑا جوڑا بنایا, تو اللہ جو میری جوڑی ہے نا وہ مجھے عطا فرماتا ہے. نہیں سمجھے؟ اللہ, آپ نے ہر چیز کو جوڑا بنایا نا, تو جو میری جوڑی ہے اللہ مجھے عطا فرماتا ہے. اب یہ تھوڑا ایک انسان کا ذوق اور شوق ہے, اس کے ساتھ دعا مانگے تو کبھی انسان کی ایسی دعائیں بھی لگ جاتی ہیں اور قبول ہو جاتی ہیں. ایک اور اسی طریقے سے ایک اللہ والوں کی دعا تھی, وہ فرماتے ہیں کہ یا اللہ, آپ اکیلے ہیں اور یہ اکیلا پن صرف آپ ہی کو اچھا لگتا ہے. اللہ, آپ اکیلے ہیں, توحید, رائٹ, اللہ آپ اکیلے ہیں, لیکن یہ اکیلا پن صرف آپ ہی کو اچھا لگتا ہے. اللہ, مجھے تو میرا جوڑ عطا کر دینا. اللہ تعالیٰ سے مانگیں, اللہ تعالیٰ اس معاملے کو آسان فرما دے. تو یہاں تک تو کچھ باتیں تھیں. آپ لوگ تھک گئے؟ تھک گئے تو میں بند کر دیتا ہوں.